would you like to go to a blue jean party instead?
Okay. Is it a Canadian tuxedo party? Because you know I'm down for that.
Hey, nothing says America quite like a pair of blue jeans. So sorry. Keep your
Canadian tuxedo
at home. Yes.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
My gentlemen, start your cheaters.
All right, welcome to Hey You Know It, everybody. We are talking about work because Labor Day.
Labor Day is here, and I hope everybody is enjoying the day.
Yeah, you should not be laboring on this day. If you are at work, just go slow.
Yeah.
Because at this point, come on.
Yeah, phone it in. Because you deserve a day off.
And if it's a phone job, text it in. Mm-hmm. Like, to take it back a step.
Right. So, U.S. celebrates Labor Day because of a bloody clash over 100 years ago.
Okay.
And it left 30 people dead and cost $80 million in damages.
Well,
at
you
that
don't
point.
Learn any of this in school at all.
Yes. It was the Pullman strike and crisis of the 1890s that started off the whole
thing. I didn't know that started. I know about that, but I didn't know it started off Labor Day.
Yeah, so
we needed to get these people a day off. Damn.
They used to have a thing called company towns.
Yes.
Where a big company that had a lot of work to be done, like the Pullman, they were the people that made all the trains
and the
cars and everything.
So if you do a little history, a lot of towns in the Midwest, smaller cities that are not doing so well now, you're like, what was this town? A lot of them were company towns, and when the unions came around, sometimes these company towns would just close rather than deal with them.
Yeah.
And that's when you have all those work songs. I work 16 hours and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt because they're getting paid in scrip. Or chips from the company store.
This is what happened. So the Pullman company, they made luxury rail cars.
Mm-hmm.
So George Pullman, who owned it, you know, so they had this whole big town set up and everybody lived there. So Pullman himself...
He ran the town.
He lived in a mansion.
He's probably a freak.
Yeah. If you were a manager, you lived in a house. Skilled workers lived in small apartments and laborers stayed in barrack-style dormitories.
Yes. Much like the feudal system in Europe.
Yeah, so the housing conditions were cramped by modern standards, but the town was sanitary and safe, and they even had paved streets and things.
Just enough to get people to work.
Right. So they had company stores, so it was like the Pullman store. So you worked for the company, and then you also gave them the money back, buying things from their store. So you're...
You're locked in. It's a closed economic system.
Yes. So there was this depression of the 1890s that struck, and Pullman made the decision to save money by lowering wages. Mm-hmm. But he didn't lower the cost of anything in the store.
Well, why should he? You know what? They should work harder.
Yeah,
he's a rich person.
Yes. He cut pay by 30%.
Mm-hmm. Not for himself.
And he didn't lower the rent on any of his...
Even though he owned everything.
He owned everything, did not lower the rent, did not lower the prices.
Rich people now are probably like, damn it. Those were the days.
Yeah.
Those were the days. If given the opportunity, if it could go back that way, it would.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly.
Yeah, so it became more and more difficult for the Pullman workers to support their families, and they ultimately...
And they had nowhere else to work, keep in mind.
Yeah, and you know, there was a lot of sympathy for the Pullman workers. Even the Chicago police took up a collection.
Wow.
To help them, yes.
That's odd, because usually the cops are the first ones that are beat down the unions.
Yeah, right.
At the behest of the rich people.
So the workers then launched a strike, receiving support from the American Railway Union, too.
Okay.
So they're getting a lot of support and sympathy from everybody.
Some union history here.
Right. And so how did Pullman himself handle it? Well, he was unmoved.
Yes.
Are you surprised?
Did he bring in...
He refused even to meet with the strikers. And he just wouldn't talk. He refused.
And I always think in these situations that these people, these wealthy people who are on top, they are lucky that the common person is rational.
Yeah.
Because I know what I would have liked to have done.
Yeah.
He's one person. You are many.
Yeah.
Right? But you don't want to stoop that low.
Yeah. It's like the decency in the
average
taking
advantage
of the
decency of the average person.
Yeah, so there was he wouldn't even talk, and people were getting angry, and there was a lot of growing unrest.
They should have cracked him upside the head.
Then tensions escalated when Eugene V. Debs.
That's right.
He was the president of the Nationwide American Railroad Union, declared that they would no longer work with any of the trains from the Pullman factory. So there was a big to-do. There was a strike. There was a boycott. Everything west of Chicago was kind of shut down. There was no service. There was no anything.
Yeah, pay people.
Yes. And still they got a lot of, and there was a lot of sympathy for this. And they ended up, eventually they ended up making a union. What did they do?
Which the Supreme Court now has been steadily working towards getting rid of all
dismantled,
of.
Yes.
Well, that's because when you don't have a union, you don't have collective action, and then you can have as many Pullmans as you want.
Right, right. So they were the ones, thanks to that kind of a labor union that keeps people like Pullman
from in getting line. A handle. Because you see what they'll do. It's always so bizarre to me. I've had my own, like, businesses where it's just been me, but I would think one of the great things about owning a business and being able to employ people and make sure that people have a good wage and have a good, like, that's like the part of owning a business, right?
Right.
Like, it's not, yeah, sure, you can enrich yourself, but, like, how great is it to make sure that everybody is getting a little piece?
Yeah.
And, like, when things aren't going well, it doesn't go well for you, and that's equally shared.
Yeah,
right?
But
that's just me. Maybe that's why I don't have a business.
You're a normal person that says, oh, there are other living people on this planet and things besides me.
Also,
and everybody needs to thrive and be happy.
I don't want to be looking over my shoulder every time I step outside my factory. Someone's going to crack me upside the head again with the aforementioned 2x4.
Yeah.
Right.
Some people will complain about the union and say, oh, they don't do their jobs and this
and that.
I don't
know what they're supposed to do. They're just supposed to stop Pullmans.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah,
they're just
really
supposed to
is.
Advocate for the people in the union. That's it.
Yes, and so one of the things that they did to try to like get back in the good graces of people was to create Labor Day.
Yeah.
They're like, all
really?
Right, yeah,
one free day.
Yeah, everybody get this day off. It's gonna be Labor Day. It's honoring you, the worker, and that was part of the whole
the
impetus
push.
In.
I feel like
the
on the plantations they had a day like that too.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that they did. It was probably a half day.
It was like a
when
lunch
nothing
hour.
Else was going on. Yeah, lunch
they
hour.
They got to sit down.
Just a quick brunch before getting back out to the field.
So the holiday was made to appease.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's very cynical, too, of industrialists. Be like, we'll give them one free day. The reality of it is that the workers are a threat because they can grind everything to a halt. Elon Musk by himself can't even, well, even with his thousands of people, can't build cars. But, like, by himself, definitely could not build a car.
Yeah, he can't run his business alone.
Nope. Very interesting.
People need people.
People need people. So I was looking into the New York minimum wage because there's a lot of stuff going on around the fight for 15.
Mm-hmm.
They want people want 50 or some people workers and people concerned about workers want there to be $15 an hour, which in New York we know is still not enough to survive. I think you need at least $21 an hour to afford a crappy apartment.
Right.
And you have to be with another adult.
Yeah.
And don't have kids.
Right.
So, but the New York minimum wage for 2018, the hourly minimum wage, and this is not for people working in the restaurant business, is $10.40 an hour.
Yeah.
That's not very good.
No, it's not.
That's a minimum. And then so if you make 40 hours a week, which a lot of people don't if you're making minimum wage, they don't give you 40 hours. But if you did, that would be $416 a week. Again.
Oh, my God.
And then yearly, that would be $21,000 a year. I feel like $21,000 is what a lot of people pay in rent.
Yeah.
Every year. And I'm not talking about wealthy people.
Yeah.
Either.
Absolutely.
So that's greater than the federal minimum wage. The federal minimum wage is $7.25, right? And so in the places where it's higher, you get the higher. Mm-hmm. So the least you can be paid anywhere in the United States is $7.25. Although I found through research that there's only like 4 or 5 counties in the United States where you can actually get like a 1 or 2 bedroom apartment on minimum wage. And there are places that you don't want to live there. There's no jobs there.
Yeah.
So if you could get it in like an empty patch of land and like, you know, outside in the desert, you know, there's no job. So in 2008, the New York minimum wage was $7.15, and then they raised it to $10.40. I remember people complaining about that.
Yeah.
So the complaints always come from business owners, to which I say then fire people or go out of business. If you can't pay people, even less than a living wage, then why do you have a business?
Yeah, that's not a business.
Just do it yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Scale back.
Scale back.
Or try to find a way to be more successful if you can't pay
or
people.
Forget it.
Yeah.
So I said the current minimum wage is $10.40. The minimum wage in New York City is $13 for an hour for large employers. It's still not very much. Mm-hmm. $12 an hour for small employers. The minimum wage in Long Island and Westchester is $11. I don't know why it's cheaper in Westchester. Westchester's not cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't think Long Island's cheaper either, is it?
Living? I don't think so.
Tipped wages range from $7.50 to $11 an hour, and the fast food wage in New York State is $11.75. I don't know, and New York City is $13.50. I don't know why fast food gets a special thing. I feel like if it's $13.50 for them, it should be $13.50 for everybody.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think a lot of the arguments started about having a minimum wage. It's like, oh, teenagers can do this job and they don't have families.
Yeah,
it's
but
like,
when we were teenagers, everyone worked in fast food. You don't see teenagers working in fast food now. So I hear that argument too, but you have adults working in fast food who are trying to support themselves and their families.
Yeah.
Like fast food, yeah, when we were growing up, it wasn't a full-time job. Usually the manager was an adult, and by adult, he or she was like 24.
Yes. Yes,
right?
Yes,
or 25 years old. The rest of us were teens.
Right.
And there were tons of us who worked there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to give you a little perspective, Jay Leno was a manager at McDonald's for many years. While he did his stand-up.
It wasn't. When I was growing up, because I live in Easton when I was 13, Easton, Maryland, it's like, now I think there may be like 40, 50,000 people. At the time, maybe half as many. You could, if you were in your 20s, that was actually not a bad job managing fast food.
It wasn't at that time.
Yeah, because you were working with like 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds, and you had a summer like workers coming in. It wasn't that bad, and you could live okay.
Yeah, and the idea was that you could work, you could go up the corporate ladder.
Mm-hmm.
You worked, you were a manager, then you would get into the office, and then you would open up more franchises and things. And there was mobility, and there was the promise of more.
Yeah, but also keep in mind, things were cheaper.
Yes.
My first job when I made $5 I think in 15 cents an hour in like 1987 and I was 13. I worked 40 hours a week and I was rolling in cash.
Yeah, yeah.
I had enough money to hook up my bike.
Yeah,
I could buy Archie comics and stuff. Like, we didn't have a bookstore. We had a Hallmark store.
Mm-hmm.
So at Hallmark, I could go. I bought, like, Dune. Like, I bought the expensive books, like Lord of the Rings. Those were, like, $4.95.
And you got those.
And
so
I
you
got
with your
those.
Own money that
yeah,
you
and
had.
I opened up a bank account across the street. I remember taking a check to go buy Love Sexy, which was Prince's album.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Cassette.
Oh, my God.
At the time.
You were
and it had
styling.
A sticker on the front because he was nude.
Oh, no kidding.
Even though he was talking.
Yeah.
They still put, like, a big explicit sticker. And I'm like, I gotta see what's in that sticker. Nothing. A crossed leg.
Oh.
Not even, like, a welcome mat. There was nothing.
Man. So that was your first job?
No, my first job. My best friend at the time, Carrie, got me the job. She was working there.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, girl, come on down. This ice cream. It was an ice cream store that was next to a video rental place.
Yeah,
which in
the
80s, I was like, I have hit the jackpot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got a free pint of ice cream every day and then one free video rental.
Oh, my God.
So I saw every shitty 80s movie available.
Yeah. Did you rewind? Were you kind?
Yes, I was. Well, if I didn't, I would just come in early and stick it into there. Because they had rewinding things there that rewound things really quickly.
Yeah.
But I saw every 80s movie as possible. I had a lot of ice cream to this day. And, you know, I don't like ice cream.
You don't, but
I had to
it.
Scoop so much of it. I had a gigantic right forearm.
That's so funny. That was...
like, it was huge.
Yes.
Because it was difficult. I made ice cream cakes. I always burnt my fingertips because I'd make, like, the waffle cones. You had to quickly roll them.
Yeah.
But it was a cool job because all the kids came in.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, the ice cream parlor.
Yeah.
And then sometimes older, by older, I mean, like, 16-year-old, like, kids would come in and we'd be like...
Okay, here's some free ice cream.
Here's some older kids.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it was my first job. I biked to work. I would park my bike in front and lock it up.
Yeah.
I worked literally, 40 hours a week. Which you could get, you could do that back then.
Yeah.
Because I was 13, so I had my, you know, my working papers or whatever.
Oh, right, the working papers. That was a big thing.
I had my working papers, and I remember our the boss that we had was, like, our parents' age, and he was a really nice guy. I think he had, like, 6 or 7 kids, all girls. So he was, like, a fun boss to work for, and he was just, nice. Like, everywhere he went, like, because it was, like, all girls working the place. He was just like, ah!
Girls!
Like, he's just, like, at home.
Yeah.
But he was a cool guy because he got it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was nice. So
man, you had a better experience.
Oh, what was yours?
Ice cream. I worked at Baskin Robbins scooping ice cream. That was my first official job. Besides, like, I would babysit and things earlier, but this was my first job.
On the books.
On the books.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're working in the gray market previously.
Yeah. But my friend Kathy was like, yeah, I'm working there. It's cool. You want to work? And I thought that'd be great. We could work together.
And that's how it starts.
Yeah, but we didn't work together. He put us on separate shifts.
Huh?
So I was like, sometimes I had to work with the owner, and he was like this mean guy, and I just try to stay away from him.
How could be a mean guy working at Baskin Robbins?
You know, he was just like, I got this franchise, and I've got to make it work. And
see, the place I was at was independent.
Yeah.
So was the pay good?
The pay was good, but I couldn't wait to leave. And then finally, I was just like, I got to quit, you know. And I just quit one day. I was like,
You handed in your apron and your hat?
I was like, I decided I was just miserable. And I was like, maybe I'll just go back to babysitting. And
the money in babysitting, though, was probably just as good.
Yeah.
I was always jealous because I was not, as I am today, was not a kid person.
Yeah.
And so I tried babysitting a couple times. I was like, I would rather fucking cut off my own arms.
Yeah.
And roll around in lemon juice and tacks and then babysit one more fucking kid.
Yeah, I think with me.
Who smells like pee.
Okay. The summer was over and I had to go back to school. So I was just like, I'll just babysit a little bit. And I just didn't know that you had to give 2 weeks notice.
Oh, yeah.
And he threw
See, my mom ran the employment service, so I had a resume, and I knew about all this stuff.
No, I didn't know. And he yelled at me, and he said I couldn't quit. I had to give 2 weeks' notice, and I went home crying. Like,
well, you can quit.
Yeah. My mom was just like, just quit. Just stop. Just don't quit.
Well, just go anyway. Just go. He doesn't know what he's talking about, but you remember it next time.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, but I hate it. It was so hard with the ice cream.
Scooping ice cream is hard. And some, like, the worst was anything that had a low fat content in it, so it had a lot of bits in it. Like we had some ice cream, we had some ice cream like Rocky Road. Anything with a lot of like extra additives, like nuts or anything, usually has a lower fat content because it has to suspend the the whatever's in it, the chocolate bits or whatever. And I was like, oh really? We also had some ice cream that had gum in it.
Yes.
And I was like, this is just a stupid idea. This just leads to, like, parents coming and be like, don't get the gum one. And the kids, of course, want that.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole thing of, like, oh, if you eat gum, you're going to die.
It's going to be a big wad. It doesn't digest.
Yeah, it doesn't digest. I'm like, it gets passed through. So, back to that. I wanted to ask you, because you worked in the restaurant industry, the tipped minimum wage. Yeah. So how did that work?
The tipped minimum
wage? Yeah. So I did some. So it says here the tipped minimum wage in New York City, or sorry, in New York State is $10.40. The maximum tip credit is $2.55. And then there's a minimum cash wage of $7.85. So for fast food, it's the tipped wage is $11.75, and they assume that they don't get tips.
All right.
But what I understood from reading is that the more tips you get, the less your employer has to pay you?
It is, the assumption is, like, you got paid, when I waited tables, those many years ago, it was something like $3 an hour, because the assumption was you were going to get 15 or 20% in tips.
Okay.
And
of the cut of the day or whatever.
Well, yeah, or you get your section, and then you keep all of your tips.
Okay.
And then you tip out.
There was
out.
No pooling.
There was, some restaurants had pooling, some didn't. And it just depended on who you were working with or whatever, what the policy was and the style of the restaurant. But I usually worked without pooling tips, and I was a good server.
Okay.
So I always made at least 20%. So you would tip out the busboy and the bartender. The bus gets 10% and the bar gets 5%.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so now you're
That's it for the bar?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
From each server.
So from each server, okay.
Yeah. And the thing was, now with the government.
Dun, dun, dun.
Here it is. So every day, say you sell $1,000 worth of food,
wine or something.
Food. That's what your totals come up to. The assumption is not that you make 20% or 15%, but it's 8%. And that is what you're supposed to claim.
For the government. For the man.
In tips, yeah.
And the remaining 12, let's say, or whatever, the remaining 8 to 12, you keep.
Well, you would not claim that on your taxes. So I would say, yes, I make $3 an
hour. That's why I tell people tip in cash.
Yeah, and I only made $80 in tips today.
Okay.
When you really made, you know, $300.
$300.
Okay. So that's what you would claim, and you would put that on your claim every day.
At the end of each day, you were responsible for doing this?
Yeah.
So what I read here, it says... it's a tip. Let's say Jennifer is a host in New York, receives an hourly wage of $10.40, the New York minimum. During an hour-long shift, she gets $3 in tips. Good grief. For that hour, Jennifer's employer can credit $2.55 against her hourly wage, so they only pay her $7.85. However, including both the cash wage and the $3, Jennifer's total earning is $11 for that hour. And the next hour of the shift, she gets no tips. Because no tips were received to be credited, the employer must pay her $10.40 cash for this hour.
I don't think... No, that's weird. This is how it works now.
This is according to the government's website. This is how it's supposed to work now.
Well, I have no experience with that. That's not how it was. It was $3 an hour, keep your tips, tip out the bar and the bus.
Yeah. So then, what they're saying now is she starts, Jennifer again, today's Katie, starts at 10:40, and then they lower it, right? So they only pay $7.85 in cash wages. So in my mind, this is like... It seems like a better deal just to be like, this is how much you're getting paid from the restaurant. It shouldn't fluctuate because I don't know how restaurants can keep that
together.
And they should pay people anyway. And if they get tips on top of that, great.
Yeah.
So much the better.
Yeah. Well, there's some restaurants who are even changing the whole thing now.
They're trying to get rid of the tips.
The tips are just worked into the price of the food.
But I have to say, sometimes when I think about how restaurants treat people and how little they get paid, it kind of turns me off from wanting to eat at some places. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's also the dispute between, okay, people in the front get tipped, but people in the back get a regular wage.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, the thing
so where does it go? So like the bartender, for example, in your situation, he is kind of in the back in a way because he's only dealing with the waitress, not the customer, but he still gets tipped.
Oh, well, the guys in the kitchen or the women in the kitchen get, say they get, because they're chefs.
Yeah, well,
they have,
theoretically, yeah.
They have a higher wage. They get $15 or $20 an hour, no matter what, no matter who walks in the place.
Unfortunately, those aren't the rates that I'm seeing for people getting paid in the back now. So maybe this is the problem.
Yeah, so, but the thing was, like, back in my day, if I had two tables, I walked home with no money. They have a guaranteed paycheck. So they don't deserve any of my tips.
Everybody getting a decent minimum. And then whatever else goes on top of that, mind your own business.
Yeah.
As long as everyone's getting enough. And I think $15 an hour is not enough for anyone to live off of.
Well, I think part of the reason why people, at least when I waited tables, the draw was that you could work a table and get a bigger tip and make more money.
That's the point.
That's the point of it.
If that's taken away, that changes everything.
Yeah.
But I still stand by, I want to see people getting paid like a decent amount of money. So if you're a waiter or waitress and only two people come into the restaurant that night, that's not your fault.
Yeah.
That's the restaurant's fault. You still need to walk away with like you're there.
Yeah.
Right? It's not your fault that the marketing sucked.
Or it's
raining outside. Like, you still need to get... So I think about that sometimes, like some of the jobs that I've had, like the ice cream job, for example. If no one came in and bought ice cream, we still got paid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There were other things to do.
Right.
Waffle cones.
That's right.
Restocking. This kind of thing.
Yes.
So maybe it's a rethinking of like what it, you know... what people need to be getting paid and what happens if, you know, there are failures, like people don't come in.
They got the four R's.
The four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat.
209 West 40th Street. Hashtag #BunkLifeNYC.
So I found something interesting here, and I know you have something about this, is the... I was always told growing up to not ever wear white after Labor Day. And if you did, it had to be an off-white.
Oh, my God.
Or right? a winter white. I'm sure you heard that as well. Yes. And white shoes. People were like, what are you, some kind of animal?
Oh, it was a big deal. Yeah, do not wear white after Labor Day. Especially no. the shoes.
Especially the shoes. So it says, post-Labor Day moratorium on white clothing is a big etiquette thing. It's hard-line sacred rule. And they said one of the explanations for it is practical. So people wore white in the summertime.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I think it's just some people. Mm-hmm. Like yes. wealthy people.
That's what it was. It was all wealthy people.
Because I grew up in a hot-ass part of Maryland, and we never wore white.
Yeah.
Unless you were an usher in church, you were getting married.
Yeah.
It was, you know what I mean? Like, there was some kind of a ceremony or, like, a special thing. But wearing white is, like, the moment you put that on someone, like I always say, the moment you put white on, you're going to get your period.
Yeah.
You're going to have red wine. Yeah. Someone's going to spill spaghetti on you.
Right. And it got dirty really fast.
Yeah. Because this is America.
Yes, yes. But it was at the time when in the early 1900s, there was a rule because... according to the vacationing schedule of the elite, there was mm-hmm. a dress code for practically every occasion. And those who could afford it went on vacation and they had to wear white, and that was part of the dress code.
And this is in the U.S.?
Yeah.
I always find this so bizarre. Not, you know, in terms of class stuff. So when you research it, like you look at world history, you think about in Europe how wealthy people were, mm-hmm. how cultured. And then you see people in the U.S., in the mid-20th century, late 19th century, trying to act like...
Yeah, they were something.
They were something.
And they're not.
Like, are you kidding me? You run a shop, son.
Yeah. And most people, they weren't really educated.
No, but they still aspired yes. to, you know, this kind of upper... Well, I wouldn't say upper middle class. Like, actually wealthy, to living mm-hmm. like the wealthy when, like I said, you run a shop.
Yeah. So right. they went back to their shops, and they were like, time to put away the white clothes.
Yeah, white clothing is over.
Yeah.
So it was also something that they say, not just the wealthy, but the aspirational. So the middle classes are always even more tyrannical than the wealthy, because mm-hmm. they're like, hey, we're getting in there. We're showing them we know when to wear white.
That's
and
right.
And we don't know when to wear white. But the fun thing about being middle class is no matter what you do, is for the upper class, is always wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if they're wearing white and you're wearing white, you have the wrong white.
Yes.
Your white isn't as white.
Right.
And you're not wearing it right.
Yes. Not right. They're not the right fabric.
No, but it's not the right anything. It's not the right cut.
Yeah.
Your polo shirt has a different animal on it.
Yeah. So therefore.
It's not right. So they were saying it's the, well, yeah, as you said, it marks the traditional end of summer. People would put away their summer duds. And this is in the first Monday of September and then dust off heavier, darker fall clothing. Now, I feel like you could continue to wear white until, like, the middle of October. It's still hot.
It's still... This is the thing. There's...
Times have changed.
What are we going to do in this world?
Because I don't know.
The temperatures, you're trying to dress for the season.
And you don't know.
You don't know. You're trying to switch your fabrics out
yeah.
for the right season. Trying to switch those colors. And it's all...
It's very difficult because... Especially when you work in education.
Mm-hmm.
As a teacher, you're like, okay, we're going back to school in the fall. It's still hot as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
What can I wear that's appropriate
yeah.
for the classroom when it's 105 degrees outside?
Yeah, and it's calendar says September, so
yeah.
you shouldn't be wearing.
So it's like a lot of people, dress. Like a lot of teachers don't like to wear something without sleeves.
Yeah.
Or something that's low cut or open-toed shoes or this kind of thing. It's just not something for all of us. We have to bend over people.
Mm-hmm,
you know mm-hmm. what I mean? You're moving around a lot. If you're working with children, open-toed shoes, it's like if you want to get stuff on your feet, like paste.
Yeah, yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
like get stepped on.
Kids are stepping on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, kids are like, you can't wear white and light colors a lot of times in an elementary school classroom.
You need steel-toe boots.
Yes, you need steel-toe boots and overalls.
A smock.
And a helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a smock.
It's
you know,
true.
And a rebreather. So it's difficult to put things together. But they're saying that even, was it Emily Post?
Mm-hmm.
Or Miss Manners said that, hey, in the 17th edition in 2004, she gave the go-ahead for wearing white after Labor Day.
Because you've got to. And it's
yeah.
the idea of it's a wardrobe extender, too, because, you know, fall clothes are traditionally they're wool.
They're heavier.
They're heavier.
Yeah.
And then get into the cashmere and these other different blends, alpaca and things. But the weather is not going to cooperate with that at all. So they're trying to, there's fashion trends where it's like, hey, take that floral dress from the summer and just wear it over tights.
Yeah, or put a cardigan over it, put a sweater over it. Katie and I, we swear by black on black all year long.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, Katie and I went out. Katie came with a white t-shirt. I was like, what's the occasion?
Oh, yeah, it was so
hot. It was just
hot.
A t-shirt, though. There was nothing special about it, but it, to me, it was special because it was white. I'm like, wow, I should have also worn white.
You laughed at me the whole night because I had a white t-shirt
on. I couldn't
on.
Believe it. People were like, what's the big deal? I'm like, it's a white shirt. They're like, yeah, black on black.
And I know.
All summer long, right? New York style, Los Angeles style, black on black on black.
It was so hot. And that was for your birthday.
It must have been hot. I've never seen you wear that shirt before. It looked brand new.
It was brand new.
Was it just in the back of the closet? Like in plastic?
I got it for $3.
Wow.
And on the cheap Maggie's.
Cheap Maggie's. I like it.
And I wore it, and I didn't care, and I wore a black bra underneath because I didn't care.
And you didn't get anything on the shirt.
Yeah.
I monitored that shirt all evening to see if anything got on. And nothing, not a single breast crumb.
Not a breast crumb.
Got onto it. Not a drink was spilled.
I was hungry.
And you ate.
And I ate.
You ate,
and
you drank?
Everything on my plate.
And nothing got onto your clothing. That was amazing. Yeah. I was impressed. That was the best birthday present ever. Thank you. All right, what do you have?
Okay. I have 9 dating profile tips to get your bae.
On Labor Day.
By Labor Day.
Labor Bay, I said.
Labor Bay.
Yeah, Labor Bay. How to get it. I'm just amazed that you found anything that around dating and romance on friggin' Labor Day.
I love these two sentences here. Everybody is out on those sultry days of summer. But you also might catch yourself wondering, where is everybody? This is how the article starts.
Oh, no. Well, I'm drawn in. I can't wait to find out how I can get my bae on Labor Bay.
Yeah. So, if you're the casual swiper and hopeless romantic like me, you probably had the same info and photos on display for a while.
I guess this is Tinder?
Yeah. So,
I did Tinder. I helped a friend set up her Tinder, and I'm still horrified by what I saw. Gentlemen, don't take a picture of yourself that suggests that a good caption might be it puts the lotion on its skin.
Somebody wrote that?
No, but some of the photos that dudes book, makes them look like serial killers.
Yeah, yeah.
And not even from this era.
Yeah, some people just put the basic minimum on there, but they're like, no, you really have to dress up your profile in a way.
One guy just put a picture of Yogi Bear.
Okay.
Another guy made the picture black and white and made the eyes green. I'm like, huh?
Why did you?
Exactly. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Sidebar.
So number one is nail the first impression. Just make sure that.
Nailed it.
Make sure your first photo is close up. Include one full body photo.
Mm-hmm. Do not take a picture with your better looking friend.
Right.
I saw a lot of that. And you don't have to pose on the hood of a car.
Yeah. And you don't have to crop everything. Don't like do side face.
Yes.
And crop off the top of your head.
Yes.
Something,
there's a lot of that. There's a lot of it. It looks like the guy accidentally walked into his own shot.
Yeah. Like, oh,
yeah.
I didn't see you there.
Yes. Or was trying to back out of the shot. Like, oh, well, no, this could work.
Yeah.
No shower photos.
Show off as much of you as you're allowed. If a person really likes what they see, they hope the next photo will reveal more of your personality.
So no nipple, gentlemen.
Start off with the face, the headshot, then the body shot, and then doing some fun things.
What about just feet? Maybe that's important to someone.
And then be upfront. Is this a summer fling or are we a thing?
How are you supposed to know that until you meet the person?
I know.
Okay.
What are they looking for?
Yeah. Ass.
Make up your mind going into it what you're wanting out of dating online.
Okay. I think that's cute. I always like to remind people that in my Craigslist ad to my husband, who I've been with for the past like 12 years, I put, I'm not looking for a serious relationship. I repeat, I'm not looking for a serious relationship.
Yeah,
you don't know until you meet the person.
Exactly. And the thing is, you did Craigslist when it was normal to
do. Yeah, before people started chopping up hookers.
And burying them in the sand.
Yeah, in Staten Island. All right.
I don't know why I'm laughing at that. But.
Because that's what happens with these things. It all starts off. Now, we haven't had a Tinder, like a, you know, killer yet.
Yeah.
Or maybe we have. Who knows?
Well, it says, when in doubt, just swipe right. If you find yourself on the fence of a like versus dislike, make the first move into the unknown. Be open-minded at the first stage. I'm okay. like, no, I don't know. No, it'll actually be a little more.
Yeah, I mean, there's like 50 more people coming down the swipe line or whatever.
All right, have a friend look over your profile. And so
yes, they have several friends look over your profile, yeah. Gentlemen.
Girl, you look busted in that photo. I'm just waiting for you to tell me how busted I look in my photos. You have to tell me. Will you tell me if I look busted in a photo? Okay.
May you look road hard and put away wet. Look at them hooves, girl. Good get friends. Yourself a pedicure.
Good friends will never be more honest with you than judging how you present yourself to potential lovers.
Yeah. Also, too, here, like, don't go too far in the other direction. Like, if you're putting up an amazing photo of yourself, it's just like with a job,
mm-hmm.
like, or acting or modeling. You're on the hook for that to show up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so don't, you know, be real. Like, don't put your 100%. Put, like, a nice 75.
Put a 75 photo.
Like a nice gentleman C photo.
Yes.
You know, something that's reasonable.
Yeah, something that you can attain just about every
day. Yeah, because if you don't, they do have the right to be like, well, who the fuck was this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Is that the next one? Look like your photo?
Yes. Yeah. Try a paid app or a site version. Mm-hmm. Meaning, don't take this as trying to buy love, but rather putting yourself out there. In most cases,
it's not
paid
sales.
Version. Yeah. The paid for, you know how people go on free dating
the
sites.
Free dating. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. Pay for it.
It's too late for that. That was back in 2000
mm-hmm.
when you could just go on and be like, hey, because we were still coming out of the, so I, just full disclosure,
mm-hmm.
the first time I have only placed personals ads twice in my life.
Mm-hmm.
One, I was 19. Mm-hmm. I just moved out to Seattle and people were using the Alternative Weekly to like meet people.
Yeah.
Like activity partners kind
yes.
of thing. So I put an ad in there. It was fun. Right.
Yeah.
Then out of that years later comes the, you know, the Craigslist and stuff like that. But now that's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's a paid thing now.
Yeah.
You know, there's no more just free, you know. Because remember, in the papers, there was no, you just put like maybe 20 words. It was like a haiku
mm-hmm.
looking for ass, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like a couple of haikus together.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you make up a name,
mm-hmm.
Ophelia or whatever. And then that's it.
Ophelia Balls?
Yeah, Ophelia B. You just put it out there and that's it. No photographs, no nothing. And you just take your chances.
Yeah.
And it works for people, right? Because I think it was fewer people doing it.
Yeah. But nowadays, it's kind of the dating scene has really changed in what people are looking for in a relationship or a non-relationship, actually. In the history of dating, just briefly, it's like in the 20s, you were supposed to be a dater. You
mm-hmm.
were supposed to go on as many dates as possible to show that
you were
desirable and
yeah.
you were out there and all of that.
But the dates were often, I would say, short.
Yeah.
So it might just be meeting and then chit-chatting for a little bit.
But also...
A walk.
Oh, no. But they also wanted sexual experience.
Yeah, yeah,
too.
As well.
So they were like, you need to know what you like before
but
you
I mean, by
short,
it's like you might see, like, you know, you might see Phyllis once.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Might not see her again.
And Phyllis is
and
out.
And that's fine. Phyllis is out. She's moved on to Tim.
Yeah.
You know? You've moved on to someone else.
That's right.
Cheryl, as it were. So...
That's hilarious. And then it went, oh, no, you'd have one steady and you don't have sex.
Yeah.
And then you get married.
Whose idea was that?
I know. It's the worst.
That must have been a shock at the time. It's like, huh?
Yeah.
It's like, well, oh, we've always done it this way.
Yeah.
Nah, not anymore, dude. Wrap it up.
And then it's like, hey there, you know, free love. Let's get out there. And everyone just kind of bang. And
yeah. And then this dude's like, oh, I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And that's where we are now.
Right. But it's not even, I don't even know how many people are looking for sex. Per se, because they're really looking for likes. They're trying
to
get attention. To
build their profile?
Yeah, it's just like, what can I do to make sure people are still, I'm wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are still think I'm
people
desirable.
Are interested
and
in
they
me.
Got that reinforcement that people are interested, like you're saying. And then it's a lot of texting and don't meet.
Who has time for that?
No, because then they feel like I'm dating without actually doing anything.
They feel
like
they're out there.
They feel like they're out there. They're not really out there, so they're safe. They're not
it's like
vulnerable.
Virtual. So a friend of mine was saying that guys are like, hey, if you have some free time, give me a call. It's like, no, that's not how this works.
No.
Like, if you want to do something, like, let's both say, hey, let's do something. Let's get something organized.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, hey, if you happen to be swinging by. No one wants to make any effort.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck.
Yes, good luck in your... Labor Day babies.
I'm back to... Yeah. Bay? What was it?
Labor Day.
Labor Bay. So minimum wage, I'm back to minimum wage again. I just was like looking at different places. It seemed like the highest minimum wage is in Washington, D.C.
Ew.
I know. $13.25 an hour.
Oh, my God.
It's not bad. That's not bad.
It's not good.
I mean, D.C. is, I mean, look, so D.C. is $13.25 an hour. Maryland is right next to it, is only $10.10 an hour.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's okay. That's the thing. If you just cross over, you're going to get an extra couple of dollars. Puerto Rico, it's $5.88 an hour. Mm-hmm. I know Puerto Rico is somewhat cheaper than the U.S., but it's not that much cheaper. A lot of places are around the $7.25. I was really shocked by New Jersey is $8.60 an hour. Where in New Jersey can you live for $8.60 an hour?
You can't, really. But it's like, it's for those... all those towns that are not near Philadelphia or New York.
I guess that has to be like out past the Poconos and whatever. Washington State $11.50. So most of them are hovering around the $7 an hour. Massachusetts $11. Again, a really expensive place. California $11. So it looks like $13.25 is the most that you're going to get from the District of Columbia if you can find a job that does that. DC. I lived in DC for a couple of years. DC is interesting because there's so many, the government's there, so they're overpaying everybody for doing nothing. But also there's so many nonprofits and associations that everything, that every regular job there comes with amazing benefits.
Yeah.
Because everyone has to compete.
Yeah.
Audubon Society is doing it. We got to do it. Or the association of this is doing, we have to do it. So DC is actually a very well-paid place. Plus, like I said, all the government money is there.
Yeah,
and there's like no productivity.
A lot of deep pockets.
Yeah, a lot of deep pockets and not a lot to do.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
How are you going to celebrate Labor Day?
I don't know. Probably continue working on my syllabus.
Yes.
How about for the semester.
How about throwing a party, Jaquetta?
For Labor Day? Who will work it?
I know.
So how can I do this?
Well, there are
I'm intrigued.
There are different themes that you can have. Well, first they say...
The Eugene V. Debs theme? You come and bust up the place.
Yeah, right.
Demand rights.
Yeah. The rights of all party goers.
Yeah. We have to fight for our right to party. Eugene Debs.
So you could have a seafood bake.
Huh? Okay.
Which sounds good.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get it together. Somebody else has to.
I did a seafood bake the other night. And it consisted of a beer, clams, lobster, and then corn and potatoes. It wasn't that bad.
Oh, it sounds great.
Yeah, it was really easy to do. Really easy to do.
What kind of potatoes?
New.
Okay.
And I just used a Budweiser because I was like, this is a shitty beer.
Yeah.
It was fine. Yeah.
Another party theme you could have is all white.
Okay. Oh, these white parties.
Yes.
This is a big thing. I didn't know about these until I moved up to New York this last time. So like in the 2000s. And I kept hearing all these things on the radio. Like
white parties.
We're having a white party. I'm like, what the hell? And then I saw a picture of one. I'm like, it's a bunch of black people dressed in all white.
Everybody's dressed in
in all white. It's not just black people. These are the ones I saw.
Well, they're suggesting not only should you arrive clad in only white, make sure your tablescape is pure white as well. White sides, like white desserts.
I can't read this. It's written in white.
Rice. Cheesecake.
What?
Fresh banana cream cheesecake.
So carbs. It's a carb party.
Yeah, everything, all the food has to be white, too.
What were the things they get? Rice? Like, I'm sorry. I'm going to a party. I'm dressed up in my all white. And I get there and the food is
all white.
Rice?
Just white dishes.
And what else were the things? Cheesecake?
Yeah.
That's off-white. Right. Vanilla ice cream? What else is white that I want to eat?
I don't know.
You know what? How about just wrap it in a burrito that looks white on the outside?
Yeah, kind of. So, all white food.
Ew.
Oh, that sounds so unappetizing.
What's the drink? Milk?
Ew.
Just a milk drink? I don't know. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I can't think of a lot of white foods. A bone? I don't know.
Eggs?
Eggs. Ugh.
Without any center?
Yeah. Yolk. Or just a boiled egg.
Just a boiled egg.
Yeah.
Big bowl of those, and you just pick them up and eat them.
That sounds terrible.
Mayonnaise.
Okay. This is a terrible party that I don't want to go to. All right.
Well, would you like to go to a blue jean party instead?
Okay. Is it a Canadian tuxedo party? Because you know I'm down for that.
Hey, nothing says America quite like a pair of blue jeans. So
sorry.
Keep your Canadian tuxedo at home.
Yes.
Hardworking men and women put on a pair of these and head to their jobs every day. So
I'd like to say I grew up with a lot of people who had online jobs, so they worked at like car factories and stuff. They didn't wear jeans to work.
But jeans was that's the traditional.
They wore coveralls.
It's the homage to the working man.
Oh, to the working man. Yeah, okay.
Collect your family's old blue jeans and let the inspiration flow.
Huh?
You could easily cover tables in jean patchwork clothing.
Because we have that much jean.
And use old pockets for banners.
Huh?
So decorate, putting dull jeans up.
As a banner? It's like it's like the bunting or whatever they call it, the flags.
I guess, but use jeans creatively as your decoration.
So let me say, I'm going to take the costume of the working man and just cut it up and make, decorations.
Hang them all over the place.
Wow.
It's like, are you drying your laundry or are you celebrating?
I like the idea that people come to the party, you just give them a pair of jeans, they have to put them on. Like, they didn't know it was a jean party, and now it is.
Yeah.
It's like, we got low rise, we got Wranglers up in here, we got throw jean on these overalls.
Skinnies.
Yeah.
You need to wear
the skinnies. We got some Daisy Dukes.
Yeah.
For the adventurous types. A jean
Remember
party?
Remember the denim skirt in the way that, like 70s style?
Yes.
People made their own.
Yeah, people made their own.
Because you couldn't buy
out of jeans.
Yeah.
And they had, like, a big V in the front.
Yeah.
I remember, my favorite was I had a really Joni Mitchell-esque teacher who had a wrap jean skirt that she had made that was amazing.
That's
she
cool.
rocked it with clogs. She used to wear like a Fair Isle sweater. And then, because it was early 80s, but still a little bit 70s going on, a kerchief. Because you could do that in the 70s.
That's right.
That was like part of her outfit.
Yeah.
Socks also. You could rock clogs and socks. And these weren't clogs of today. They were like full on clogs.
Like wood.
Yeah,
carved
wooden clogs.
To your foot.
Carved.
Yes.
With some socks.
Oh, no, they weren't carved to your foot. They were carved to a foot.
A foot.
And
a Scandinavian foot, not your own. Don't worry about it. It's orthopedic.
Don't ask
It's the
questions.
Working man's foot. It's the right foot. All right, what else do you have for the party?
The party. You can have a trade party, meaning...
Huh? That doesn't sound good.
What's a worker without their tools? Honor the traditions of Labor Day by hosting a trade party that celebrates the different trades and unions and keep things in working order.
I see rich people doing this and be like, I think this is a hammer, could be a wrench, don't know. Couldn't ask Jose before I ushered them out the door.
Yeah. Dress up the average toolbox with party essentials and flowers for a cute and functional centerpiece.
Really? My toolbox looks like it's been through Dresden.
I know.
Are you kidding? I don't even want to see the damn thing. It's so beat up.
But
and dangerous.
And I think that's so insulting to put that as a centerpiece. Like, this is like cute people work.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and then for the menu.
The party's going to look like they tore apart a union. Like a group of union people just strung their things up.
I know, right. And planning the menu, think of serving something you'd pack in a lunch. So, like a little plastic sandwich bags of sandwiches.
And that's the...
An apple.
So you have people come in and dress like day laborers.
Yeah.
And then you give them a hammer, a mustache, let's just go there all the way.
Yeah.
A shirt with no sleeves.
Yeah.
And you tell them to,
eat this bologna sandwich.
What kind of music do we listen to? Like George Thorogood? Like what happens
Bruce
now? Bruce Springsteen. Or whatever the working man would listen to. Maybe railroad songs?
Yeah. Or Men at Work.
Men at Work. They're like, this is the best we could come up with. We tried to ask our day laborers, but they told us to fuck off.
Yeah. So what would you do if you walked into a party that had a toolbox as a centerpiece, served sandwiches in plastic bags, and played Men at Work?
I think it was a gay party. And I would be like, is it okay for me to be here?
Yeah.
Like, really, if I walked into that, I'd be like, oh, okay, it's like a gay themed party.
Okay.
Construction party?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It seems like that, yeah.
Happy Labor Day, everybody, no matter how you celebrate it. And also, go out and do a little, research some union history, see who really built America.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com.
Thanks.